Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
Does your warehouse waste time and money managing forklift batteries? EnerSys can energize your operations with a customized solution, delivering the power you need while minimizing ownership costs. EnerSys starts by analyzing your operations and then selecting from their comprehensive range of battery and charger technologies, develops a truly optimized system tailored to your needs. EnerSys gives you the power to increase productivity and profitability. See how EnerSys puts power in motion for you at EnerSys.com. Businesses are retooling fulfillment operations from warehouses to omnichannel to meet new demand amid unprecedented labor shortages. 3PLs, retailers, B2B distributors, and others are turning to flexible fulfillment solutions like Six River Systems to adapt and scale. Six River Systems Fulfillment Execution System is an integrated solution that combines intelligent, cloud-based software and automation, including its autonomous mobile robot, AMR, Chuck. No costly or disruptive infrastructure changes, fast and easy associate training, and integrations with other warehouse execution solutions allow operations to meet labor challenges, increase efficiency, and enhance customer engagement. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more. Go to www.sixriver.com to learn more.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today. On today's episode, I am joined by Amir Bousani. He is the co-founder and CEO at Argo Robotics. And Argo Robotics is focused on helping robots be more perceptive and through artificial perception, which we're going to learn a little bit about today. And what does that mean exactly? And how does that help us in the warehousing industry address some of the challenges that we're seeing and help the automation that we're putting in place be more effective and more reactive in a sense, I think, as well. So, Amir, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Kevin. I'm excited. I love your podcast and very happy to join you today.
Yes, thank you. And great to have you on. You're over in Israel right now, I think you said, right? So, So great to have you on from the other side of the world and be able to connect. Technology is a great thing, right? And so I'm curious, you know, as we talk a little bit about this, there's so many, I think, different things going on in the warehousing industry in the last couple of years. It's become such a high-tech industry all of a sudden, it seems like, and there's a lot of things going on. So we're going to dive into a little bit of what Argo is doing in that sense. But before we get there, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you kind of came to this point where you founded this company, Argo Robotics, as you're a co-founder. So give us a little bit of information about that.
So I had many years in different management position, and I was lucky to be part of Intel RealSense back from about 2012, mm-hmm. With the role of leading the Intel RealSense Advanced Technology team. As part of that role, together with my co-founders at Argo, we were lucky to work with some of the leading companies in robotics worldwide. And to really see the transformation happening in robotics and autonomy over the past 10 years. When we started, it was still a bit niche and a bit at the beginning, and we saw the wave of changes and how the technology drove autonomy and robotics, and how the industries that, you know, could be considered old-fashioned. When you think about a warehouse, that's should be pretty old-fashioned technology.
Right.
And then you see how technology is getting to these markets. Now, while doing that, we were working with some of the, you know, most exciting companies to work with, and we saw robotics happening globally, and how from a niche market it is becoming a main market with large investment. And while in parallel, we also saw how the technology matures a lot by autonomous vehicles, and how vision-based technologies are becoming mature enough to be able to help robotics and to assist in making autonomy and robots smarter.
Right.
As part of that, we were amazed to see that, you know, even today, when you look at most robots, they're still blind, practically. So some of them has cameras, but they don't really see and understand the world
right.
to the level that you would expect robotics to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw that intersection between robotics becoming real on one hand and vision-based technologies getting to the maturity level. Exactly that intersect, we had our core capabilities, and we realized that we can drive that change. We can allow robotics to see the world and to understand it. And we can help drive robotics a little bit forward.
Interesting. Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, as we both kind of touched on there in the beginning, is like just the advancement in the industry overall of robotics, and, you know, what we're seeing happen. But it was interesting that you said that the robot, in a sense, was essentially blind, right? It's not seeing as much as you would think it was seeing. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, why do you think that is? Why do you think that, you know, we're seeing like all these robots come in, but then, you know, essentially they're not, I guess, as a, you know, someone that's not intimately involved in robotics, you know, as just an onlooker in a sense, and, you know, maybe a user of the robot is, you know, I guess your perception would be, I guess I'm alluding a little bit there by saying perception, but, you know, the idea of the robot, you would think that, you know, it's seeing, you know, how that's how it's moving around and things like that. But, you know, why do you think that the actual visibility of the robot was so low or so minimal?
Yeah, so it's counterintuitive, right? Because when you imagine a robot, it starts with a machine with two eyes looking at the world and you know, understanding the world.
Yeah.
That's what you expect.
Yeah.
That's what my kids would expect thinking about a robot.
Yes.
And in practice, when you look at most robots, they don't really see.
Yeah.
If they have cameras, they're looking at the skies or the floor, and they don't really see the world. The real reason is that robotics usually, so all robotics application at the end of the day, they involve extremely complex challenges, and usually more than a single challenge. A challenge in mechanics, in system design, in operation, in reliability, many huge challenges. And among these, solving the huge challenge of visual perception is in many cases just beyond the capability of the machine manufacturer, right? Of the robot manufacturers.
Yeah.
So we see, and we've been talking to many companies, and we see how much they struggle in building the in-house capabilities around computer vision, getting the right experts.
Mm.
It requires unique expertise. It's hard to find these experts. And, you know, within all the challenges they have, it's usually just too much for one company to solve.
Right.
In many cases, we see that our customers are actually relieved to be able to have a part of their problem solved so they can focus on their core application.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of different robotics companies in it, and I think that it's such an interesting thing to see how the partnerships in the industry have grown like so strong and become so important to making such a good solution overall. Like we look at a lot of these robotics companies, and as you mentioned, you know, they don't necessarily have the resources to do everything that would make that solution, you know, 100% optimal. So they bring on partners like yourself to help them focus on these smaller portions of their project and get those solid and not just kind of thrown together. So you have the best solution possible. So I think it's pretty interesting to see how that's kind of have grown and become a little collaborative in a sense, as you kind of mentioned there. So with Argo now, you know, we're talking about the robot's ability to see. It's funny, actually, you mentioned, you know, how your kids would imagine a robot is seeing and stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking about the movies where, you know, a robot is looking and, you know, it's like, you know, oh, like good person, bad person, destroy, right? Something like that. So, but with Argo, your whole idea is that you're focusing on helping the robot see better, right? And see almost in a way that we would see the world in a sense, potentially. But you're using this term called artificial perception. So talk to us a little bit about what is artificial perception and you know, why is it so important that, you know, these robots see better than what they were seeing or how they were seeing in the past?
So when we were looking at the market and talking to all these leading robotic companies, we were thinking how we can help them solve the challenge better. Mm-hmm. And we decided to focus on a core but crucial problem that is common to all mobile machines. And that's the need to understand the world to be able to move from one point to another. In order to do that well, and to do that not just in very static and structured environment, but also in the real world, a machine needs to see the world, right? That's the reason all animals have eyes. We really need to see the world to be able to cope with these challenges, to be able to move around between obstacles, between humans, between other machines. There's nothing like vision to do that. And we've decided to focus on that problem and to use our expertise and our unique experience to solve that problem very well, so we can allow our customers, the machine manufacturers, to focus on their application while we can assist them in getting from one point to another. Now, when we looked at that problem, it requires solving four main challenges. The robot needs to know exactly where it is, so the position of the robot, and it needs to do it everywhere, indoors and outdoors and in different challenging environments. They need to understand the geometry of space. So they need to understand where are the obstacles, how far are they, what's the height of the obstacles, so they can understand that space and maneuver between them. They need to know how to get to their destination and how to move within these challenging environments. And at the highest level, they need to know how to behave correctly in the environment. So you would expect a robot to behave differently next to a human. And to take some safety distance or to behave differently. So we chose to focus on these four fundamental needs. And the only real way to do that is with vision. The classic technologies like laser scanners or marker-based navigation are just not good enough. They are not capable of providing the perception needed to make the machine intelligent enough to have these four capabilities.
With e-commerce off the charts, many small and growing warehouses are asking, how can I get ahead when my warehouse is barely keeping up? The answer is future-ready warehouse tech from Zebra Technologies. Warehouses can simplify and upgrade all processes, from automated inventory management to hands-free picking, with Zebra's tailored, scalable mobile solutions. They're simple and intuitive. There's never been a better time to upgrade for success with Zebra. How can your warehouse get ahead? The answer's in black and white. Get the answers at zebra.com/the answer. That's zebra.com/the answer.
Very interesting, and yeah, I think it's interesting how far you're taking it to see. And I, you know, I watched on your website some of the video and stuff, and you can kind of see, like, you know, how is the robot envisioning the world. And, you know, it's a little different than we as humans would see. I mean, they're seeing, like, you know, different data points and things of this, but, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, they are really kind of perceiving the space. And I think you said the geometry of the space, right? And I think that's really important as well, because, you know, I've seen some robots in the past that necessarily aren't seeing in that complex level, and, you know, they get stuck in a sense because the navigation of the space or the different kind of depths, like in just one area, and there may be like multiple objects, and it's a little confusing in a sense to the robot. So tell us a little bit about in that sense, you know, how does the difference in you know, a robot before it has this artificial perception that you guys are implementing, how would it navigate a space versus, you know, how would it now navigate a space in a more improved way, putting this artificial perception in place?
So when you look at the technologies available today for warehouse automation, they are usually using one of two technologies. One is using markers on the ground, things like what EVA systems, later Amazon Robotics, and many of these similar companies are using. These are visual markers on the ground, and the robot is looking to the ground, looking for these markers, and moving from one marker to another. It's very accurate, but it works only in an environment that was specifically designed for robotics, and all the installation and maintenance was designed for that. It doesn't work in dynamic environment, and if the marker is covered, then the robot is stuck. On the other hand, the other common technology is using laser scanners. The laser scanners provide a 2D slice of the world, so they can very accurately measure points around the robot and navigate based on that. But that again works only when the environment is mostly static. So if the objects that they see are static and align well with the pre-made map, that works well. But in a dynamic environment, that just doesn't work at all. It works only on flat surfaces and only when most of what you see is static. That aligns with the technologies that you see today. Most of the robotic and automation technologies are installed in environments designed for robotics, where the warehouse is caged and there's an area for robots and a separated area for humans. But that's a small portion of the warehouses globally, right? And our goal is to enable automation in all warehouses, right? In the real and common ones, where you have people moving around and you have a forklift driving through the aisles and someone left a box at the middle of the aisle. That's the real world. And for that, these technologies are just not good enough. You want to really see, you want to detect obstacles in real time. So you want to see the world and detect it. You want to be able to detect humans and behave differently next to a human or next to a forklift. And you want to have robustness in your navigation technologies so you can cope with challenging and changing environment, where some of the aisles change or when someone stuck pallets covering your field of view. For that, only wide field of view or 3D-based perception can really solve and work reliably in these real-world scenarios.
I think it's interesting, and I think it's you know, it's great that you threw out kind of the real-world scenarios there, and you know, honestly, if you're leaving a box in the middle of the aisle, please don't do that from a safety perspective. But it happens, right? And these things happen, and you know, there's things that are constantly changing in the warehouse. I mean, you think about some of the volume that companies are pumping out of warehouses. I mean, stuff is moving all the time, and you know, you're changing your setup. You're changing your layouts to accommodate that and all those different things. So having the robot being able to adapt to that and see the different things that are in their field of view and react to that and do it in not only an efficient and more improved way, but also a safer way too, I think is a great thing, right? And you don't want to necessarily bring in a robot to help you with some of the challenges in improving your throughput and then have it also be like a roadblock in a sense, right? Because it gets stuck and it's not sure what to do. Now there's a box in the way or something that's not normally there. What do I do, right? So it's very interesting the way that you guys have gone about that. And I think it's taking it a whole nother step in that sense of, you know, really making it robot sort of comparable in a sense to a human and being able to navigate in the same way that a human necessarily would, right? Because we think about ourselves, right? You know, if we're walking down that aisle and there's a box on the floor, you know, we see it and we react. We step to the side. I mean, we should pick it up and put it away where it's supposed to go. But, you know, we would, you know, react to that and you know, be able to walk around that. So having the robot be able to do the same thing really helps with making the robots and automation more of a successful implementation in addressing some of the challenges that people are facing. So Talk to us a little bit about, you know, some of those challenges that we are seeing in e-commerce and fulfillment. You know, we talked a lot about them on the podcast previously, and, you know, I think everybody's kind of aware of what's going on out there in terms of labor shortages and, you know, just keeping up with the overall demand. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what are you hearing from, you know, some of the customers that you're working with, some of the partners that you're working with about these challenges and how the artificial perception can really come into play to help address some of them.
So today, automation and what we hear from our customers is that today, warehouse automation and logistics is all about bottlenecks. Right. So you have your bottlenecks along your supply chain, and at some point you can bring automation that will assist you with that bottleneck. Mm-hmm. Today, the previous generation technology could have solved and provide automation if the warehouse design was built for robotics. So they know how to build a part of the warehouse that will fit for robotics. It's usually caged, it's usually a flat surface that is specifically designed for robotics. And we want to change that. We want to adopt robotics to the warehouse, right? That's where most of the market is. That will enable much more dynamics in solving the problem and tackling the exact bottleneck. So when you have a bottleneck along your supply chain, you can bring robotics there, and it will allow robotics and automation to operate not only in the 1% warehouses designed for robotics, but in the 99% warehouses where the environment is challenging and the robots need to adapt to that environment. Yeah. It's a real enabler, and it includes many basic things. For example, operating outdoors. I mean, there's indoor logistics, but sometimes the machine has to go outdoors. We can enable that. We can enable a machine to bring goods from the loading dock and bring that into the warehouse. That's a crucial part of the warehouse automation process, enabling it to work alongside humans, right? In parts where you need also a human labor. It can enable it to work in environments that change. Some warehouses have periodic changes. So the warehouse has one structure today, but might change in structure in a couple of weeks. And you want to have that dynamics, that the ability to adapt to these changes quickly, like humans do, right? That's what you expect robotics and automation to be able to do. And for that, our perception enables that.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing, and I think it's just taking the, like I said before, I mean the robot to the next level of where it needs to be from a navigation standpoint, and being able to see and being able to really react to all those constantly changing things that we see in the fulfillment centers and distribution centers is really, really interesting how you guys have pushed this and now brought this to market. So I know that you guys have recently come out of stealth mode, I believe, right? So, you know, with that being said, obviously, you know, just getting introduced into the market and being partnered with some different companies, how do you see the artificial perception and the perception engine that you guys are putting out there? How do you see that kind of growing into the future, and how does that evolve over time?
So the immediate market feedback we got was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Hours after we announced the company and went out of sales mode, my inbox was just filled with new customer introduction.
Yeah.
So it feels like the market was waiting for that. Mm-hmm. The market was waiting for these perception and the capabilities, and we believe that it is going to make a real transformation in the market. It will allow the robot manufacturers and the machine manufacturers to focus more on the application and solving the application better, while they can leverage our technology to be able to move well from one point to another. It will also, we expect it to extend significantly the cases that can be automated. So today there's still a very limited set of cases that are good fit for automation, but with our technology and with higher level of perception, we believe that's going to be much easier and much wider. So we'll see many more use cases, a lot of mobile manipulators, indoor and outdoor logistics, inventory picking and placement within the warehouse is going to be much easier, and we'll see more companies that can get quicker to market based on these perception technologies. Now, in parallel, and not just by Argo, we see much more sensors and technologies that are now getting to the maturity level that enables the growth of that market. So there's a wave of new applications and new opportunities coming by more sensors, more advanced software, and the capabilities that it brings.
Very interesting, and it's great to hear that the reception was so good when you guys came out of stealth mode. I think it's definitely warranted. I think what you guys are bringing here to the table is certainly, like I said a couple times, I think already, it's taking the robot to the next level and being able to have this perception. And I think it's going to increase the capabilities of a lot of robots too, and it'd be interesting to see how that happens over the next couple of years, and how you guys help these robot companies to kind of advance their products even further. So Amir, thanks so much for your time on the show today. Very interesting to learn about Argo Robotics. And if people are interested in learning more about Argo Robotics, how can they do that?
So they're certainly welcome to contact us. They can visit our website at argorobotics.ai. They're also welcome to contact us directly. We're very happy to talk to all the companies in the robotic industries to learn more about their needs, their use cases, and how we can assist.
All right, great. And we'll put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com. So Amir, thank you once again for your time on the show today.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.